From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Recently, he began a message entitled, The Effect of the Unction of the Spirit upon the People of God. The text is 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27, where Christians are spoken of as having an unction from the Holy One. This unction, or anointing, produces a number of important effects in the life of the believer. The first effect is authority, or that which enables the Christian to serve the Lord with power. The second is enlightenment. By the Holy Spirit's activity, believers are enabled to go to the Bible for themselves and to be instructed in the things of God. Then this unction produces establishment in the believer. It demonstrates our connection with Christ, who also had this unction. Also, it shows the reality of our faith, keeping us from falling away. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today, he speaks of the believer's security in Christ, which is based on assurance, not presumption.
Among professing Christians, I'm talking about the people you'll find in church, the people you'll find listening to broadcasts such as this one. You will find probably three basic classes of people. There are those who are genuinely saved. There are those who are presumptuous, and they glibly presume that they're saved without any biblical basis for such a presumption or an assurance. Then there are those who lack assurance of salvation. They may be saved, but they don't enjoy the assurance of salvation. Now, assurance is not presumption. Presumption is a sin. Assurance is a grace and a gift that the Lord gives His people. Sinful presumption leaves a man in his sin. Sinful presumption lets him easily conclude that he is right with God. He has usually no great apprehension of his own sinfulness, no experience of genuine repentance, no love for God, no real commitment to Christ. There's been no change of heart and life. There may be some external adherence to a code or to a set of standards, but there is no desire for holiness. There is no likeness to Christ. There is no burden for prayer. There is no love for Scripture. You'll find that we have people like this all over the place. They say, oh, I made a decision. I walked an aisle. I'm not a bad person. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. And they presume that they are saved. But they're not saved. All the presumption in the world will not save a soul. Any man who presumes he's saved because he did something is not saved. He has no right to say he's saved. Matthew chapter 7 makes that very clear. The Lord Jesus spoke of people who would appear before him in the judgment day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, what's wrong with these people? You would look at them and say, oh, those are saved people. I would love to be like them. Miracle workers, casting out devils. They have great experiences. Surely, surely they are the real thing. Jesus says, not at all. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. You're still sinners. Now look at these people as they appear before God. And what are they saying? They're saying, Lord, have we not done this? We preached, we prophesied, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing. Do you see something about them? The reason they give for entrance into heaven is what they did. And I want to tell you, any man who answers the question, how do you know or why do you think you're saved, by saying, well, I have done this or that, is absolutely on a wrong footing. Sinful. Presumption. But then there are people who have real assurance. There are others who lack assurance. And if you're saved, you should seek the Lord until you get assurance. You see, assurance, first of all, is confident in the work of Christ. Assurance recognizes, I'm a sinner. There's not a thing in me that deserves anything from God but wrath. I have no confidence in me, no confidence in the flesh. But am I confident that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God? Am I confident that Jesus Christ did live a perfect life and obey the law of God for me? Am I confident that he died an atoning death and that he rose again the third day, that he has fully met all the standards of God and his law? Am I confident that God is satisfied with Christ? Am I confident in the finished work of the cross? Yes, I'm confident in that. And then assurance is confident in the promise of Christ. Am I confident that Christ cannot lie? Am I certain that Jesus Christ cannot fail? Therefore, when he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, can I cast myself entirely on that? Sure I can. I remember the time as a young man when God brought me to that place, confident in the work of Christ, confident in the word of Christ, and that brought me to a confident assurance of God's salvation. I trust today that you're saved and sure of it and not guilty of wicked presumption.
My faith has found a resting place on the device or creed. I trust the
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
At some movements that I find resurfacing in evangelical and even fundamental churches nowadays, where the pastor wants people to believe what he says because he is their spiritual authority. I want to tell you, my friend, that is popery. And I don't care who says it, it came from popery. It has no place in a Bible-believing church. I do not say to you on any one thing, I am your spiritual authority, therefore believe what I am telling you. At the heart of Bible Christianity is the freedom of the individual believer's conscience before God, to be commanded by God to be instructed through the Word of God. And in so far as what I say is scriptural, then you had better believe it, and you had better obey it on the authority of God, not on mine. But insofar as what I say is contradicted by Scripture, I tell you, believe the Bible and obey the Bible. The right of every Christian to go to the Bible. Now I said when you would set out to witness, the devil would try to tell you, well, you're not educated enough to do this. He's a liar. When you've got the Holy Ghost, you're educated enough to witness. Now it may do you good to get more education, but still, you've the right to witness. The devil would like to tell you that you're not educated enough to go to the Bible for yourself. This is a worrying development, again, in many fundamentalist churches, where people believe what they're told just because they're told it. Sometimes it's not the pastor's fault. It can happen in this church. The people simply believe what I say because I say it. I want to tell you, my friend, when you have the Spirit of God, when you're taught of the Spirit, you have the greatest credential for going to the Bible. The Spirit within you does not answer to the Spirit in the book. There's something wrong, isn't there? Deep calleth unto deep. There is this natural response. Now you do need instruction. You do need to make yourself disciplined enough to get under solid teaching, spend time in good literature. Yeah, all those things are good. But remember, you have an unction. That's the greatest thing to have. When it says you know all things, of course, it doesn't mean to say you're omniscient. This is a relative statement. It's not saying you've suddenly become God. You see, it's a mistake to lift a text out of its context and try to make it mean what the Holy Ghost doesn't mean it to mean. Christians do not have complete knowledge. I could very easily prove that to you. I'd like you, if you think you have complete knowledge, just to start with Einstein's theory of relativity and let me have it in words that I can understand. For I want to confess to you, having heard people lecture on it, I'm still as much in the dark as when I started. I confess I don't know it all. If you think you know it all, then I'll be very happy to ask you, what is the 14th word in the 3rd chapter of Ezekiel? You don't know that either, do you? No, we don't know all things, absolutely. But look what John, 1 John 5 and 20 says, we have an understanding, he hath given us an understanding that we may know him. Him. That is true. And we are in him that is true. These are the all things necessary. Christians have a grasp of the truth in things that are essential to salvation. Now, believers may disagree on many, many parts and points of interpretation, but if they are Christians, they have a grasp of the things that are essential to salvation. Believers don't need any preacher to prove to them the sinfulness and helplessness of human nature. They know it. The Holy Ghost is borne witness of that. Christians don't need anybody to prove to them that it's by grace alone that you're saved. The Holy Ghost has taught them that. Christians will never receive any doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ that would deny his deity, his humanity, his soul mediation. I want to tell you, when a man has low views of Jesus Christ, he's not saved. Christ said, asked the question himself, what think ye of Christ? And I want to tell you, your answer to that will say whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. If you don't think much of Christ, you're not saved. If you don't think often of Christ, you're not saved. If you don't think highly of Christ, you're not saved. If you don't think Him to be God of very God, incarnate in the flesh, the Lamb for sinners slain, the only Redeemer of God's elect, my friend, if you don't think those things of Christ, you're not saved. No man is saved who has low views of Jesus Christ. And His atoning sacrifice and blood shedding on Calvary, His resurrection from the dead. I was thinking when I was going over this in my own mind, I thought, well, what about the Corinthians? Did they not doubt His resurrection? As I thought of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, I realized something I'd never realized before. These fellows got very, very intoxicated with their own mental brilliance. When anybody gets that way, you know you're dealing with somebody who's becoming a fool. But anyway, they were so full of themselves. And they were denying that there was any resurrection, but it was actually looking forward to the resurrection of our bodies. I realized they never once denied that Christ had risen from the dead. And the fact that proves that is that Paul was able to say, Christ is risen, and that proves there is such a thing as the resurrection from the dead. He was able to give them that as something that they accepted without question. So that even people who were going as far astray on future resurrections like the Corinthians never once questioned that Christ was risen from the dead. You deny that Christ is risen from the dead, I want to tell you, you're not saved. That's all there is to it. Take the doctrine of the fullness and the freeness of God's salvation. Christians know those things. Why? Because they have an understanding. They know Him. The greatest enlightenment that a man can have is to know Christ. To know Him. And to know that we are in Him. That's the product of the Spirit. When you have the anointing, how do you have this assurance? We are in Him. It's not make-believe. It's the Spirit's anointing. That unction. We know Him and we are in Him. Let me ask you today, do you know Him? There's a third great result of this anointing and its establishment. Time only allows me to mention it. You've received, or you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. The anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now there are three basic ideas. The idea of the connection with Christ. Just as Aaron was anointed and his sons anointed in union with Him, so we have an unction from the Holy One. We have union with Christ. Then there's the contrast with false professors. It's interesting. In verse 19, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us, but ye have an unction. Why did they go out and you didn't? One old Puritan drew the distinction between temporary believers and real believers. It's a very good distinction. You get this in the parable of the sower and the four kinds of seed, or the four kinds of ground in which the seed fell, rather. There were some temporary believers. There are some people who respond to a gospel message, sometimes on an emotional level, some other level rather than a spiritual level. For a little while it appears that they are saved, they make profession. But they go out from us. And the idea here is they're going out doctrinally. They are leaving behind the doctrines of the gospel. They are giving up the person of Christ and the blood of Christ and the soul merits of Christ. Now why do they go out and you don't? Because you have an unction That's the real reason. You see, those with the Holy Ghost's unction can never accept the devil's lie and deny Christ and the Father. Some things a Christian can't do. Now, a Christian can sin. It'd be nice if we didn't sin, wouldn't it? People say you can live the way you like. I would to God we could live the way we like, because if you're saved, you would like to live sinless. We do sin. But I want to tell you, there are some sins that a Christian cannot commit. A Christian can never come to disbelieve that Jesus is the Christ. A Christian can never come to believe that there is no merit in the blood atonement. Certain sins he can't commit. It's the contrast with the false professors. It's good to know that here's the confidence of our security. We will go on, not because we're strong, but because we have the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.